This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Mary Meyer on this Saturday morning. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Denny. My gosh, where are we? I heard Mark Seely this week say that our winter was comparable to St. Joseph, Missouri. Zone 6A. My goodness.
Zone 6. Wow. Well, I was mentioning to some friends. I'm a little more than concerned that as much as I enjoyed not shoveling snow and things like that, I have a feeling the other shoe's going to drop and there's going to be a payback on shrubs and trees and lawns and things like that if we don't get moisture.
Oh, I agree. I think the payback is a drought. Really, because that's really of concern. The soil moisture is very low now, and amazing. So we are hoping for rain. Gardeners, farmers are hoping for rain.
Absolutely, and we're hoping our listeners will pick up the phone or send a text. Either way, one number will get you an answer here on our Lawn and Garden Show, Smart Garden Show. Call or text Mary 651-461-9226. All right, we've already have a bunch of texts that came in just a few minutes ago. Here's the first one. Is it too late to winter sow a basket of yellow alyssum seeds?
Yellow alyssum seeds sowing outside. Well, this, you know, we don't see a great deal of success with this. I'm not sure if this is a wildflower alyssum or our bedding plant alyssum, but I would say most traditional flowers, most flowers will germinate best when the soil temperature gets to 60, 70 degrees. So the soil temperature is down in the 30s now, 30s and 40s. So not much germination is going to happen until the temperature is warm and there's more moisture. So it's a risk. It's a risk putting that seed down now. We talk about dormant seeding of lawns because that, again, you get the soil temperatures is when they actually germinate, but in dormant times, they will get down into the soil and then be ready first thing in the spring with the cool season grasses. Flowers require warmer temperatures, so I would wait to do that.
Mary, interesting. Here's kind of a segue into the lawn seeding. Please explain, Texter says, overseeding. Is it best to use seed alone or the mixture of seed and topsoil?
I would use just seed alone as long as the seed has good soil contact. So the seed has to come in contact with the soil in order to germinate. So if you don't have a lot of exposed soil there, you need to do something to create soil. But if you don't have exposed soil, you probably have grass. So you might need just really raking rather than overseeding. So you don't necessarily need to put topsoil on.
Again, here's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number. And you know how busy we tend to get this hour. So send your text or call us earlier rather than later so we can fit you in here. 651-461-9226. Is it too early, Texter says, to apply pre-emergent to the lawn?
Yes. Yes, it's definitely too early to use weed killer or fertilizer. You want to see plants actively growing when you use a herbicide. You also want to follow the directions that are on the label. The label will tell you the temperature when the herbicides actually are active. And that is usually much, much closer to, you know, what's comfortable for us. Usually 60 to 80 degrees is a good temperature for activity of herbicides. And that has to be for quite a few hours. And it also has to be the surface where you're going to put these chemicals down. So air temperature is one thing. The soil temperature, that's another. But way too early for weed and feed applications.
Another question about this unusually warm weather. Has it affected, do you think, the maple sap harvest?
Well, it certainly started early this year. I think
sure.
This was the earliest ever. I know that the Arboretum, they were tapping maples much earlier than normal. They had large, extensive runs of sap. It comes and goes, you know, with the temperature. So I think the last I heard, it would be a good season, but early.
Okay. This listener, Mary, says, how long can I leave the burlap wrap on my row of 14 junipers? We have many deer who have stripped most of my other evergreens in our yard this past winter that were not wrapped.
Yes, unless a mechanical barrier is the best thing for animal protection for plants. The burlap is basically for the sun scald and then wind burning in the winter. You could take that off now because the, you know, I don't expect we're going to have temperatures that will damage junipers at Arborvita at this point in time. But again, you have to think about a barrier or some chemical repellent if you have a lot of deer in the area.
Another listener just sent one in, and you just answered that. Can I take the burlap off my 4 feet arborvita?
Yes. Yeah.
So the bill can do that. So we are planning, Texture says, and moving our hydrangeas to another part of our yard prior to having a sprinkler system. Can I move them now?
Well, you probably could.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't think
move them now.
Well, you probably could.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't think there's much frost in the soil, and doing this when plants are dormant is a good idea. If your soil is at all wet on the north side of your house or anything, I would wait until it dries out. But if you can get a shovel in the ground and pull it out without soil adhering to it, it's dry enough. Just dig the hole where you're going to move it beforehand and then water it. Because, it's just about time to bring out our hoses with the problem with the drought. So, yes, watering it is critical.
March 9th, we're talking about bringing out the hoses. Unbelievable. This listener, Mary, wants to know, how do I plant milkweed in the spring?
Well, you can look for milkweed at garden centers, or you can look for seed. Many of our native plant garden centers will have milkweed for sale. The native milkweed is a big attractant for a lot of insects and, of course, the monarch butterflies. So seed or plants, you can do either one of those. But, yeah, there are several species of native milkweed and good for many insects and pollinators.
All right. I know we'd have to take a break, but there. Let me grab another text here. Could you offer some tips, Texture says, on germinating apple seeds for seed-started rootstock?
Germinating apple seeds for seed-started rootstock. Well, you can get apple seeds to germinate. They might take quite a while. I believe they require a cold treatment before they will germinate. And then you get these kind of wild type things from apple seeds. And this whole process is really difficult. Talk about starting from seed, from really difficulties. There are certain kinds of rootstocks that growers use to bud our favorite apples onto, and those control the height and the size of the apple. So growing one from seed, some wild type that you don't know what it is, it's going to be rough the whole way through to try to figure out how that Honeycrisp or Harrelson or whatever you put on it is going to respond. Boy, I, you know, you can play around with germinating seeds, but I would just go buy the apple tree with a known rootstock that's going to control the height of that tree. But it's always fun to germinate things at home, but the whole process is would take many years, and that's really tough.
Well, I should say. All right, hang on, Mary, please. We'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners again to join in on our Lawn and Garden Conversation, our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions at 651-461-9226. Let's see, right now in the Twin Cities, 23 degrees, the new temperature. We may hit 40 today. We could hit 51 tomorrow and near 68 on Monday. Don't forget, overnight tonight, set those clocks ahead, move ahead, spring ahead. Daylight saving time returns tomorrow. Clocks ahead. We lose an hour of sleep overnight. We'll remind you of that as we move through this weekend here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning is Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. And as usual, Mary, we have a ton of questions this morning. Here's one of them. Is it too early to dig, divide, and plant daylilies?
Well, it is pretty early to do that. You could try it. Daylilies and hosta, there are two perennials that you can really almost divide any time of year. So, again, I would encourage people to not work the soil if it's wet and your shovel is bringing up a lot of soil when you put it in the ground. And number two, make sure you water the plants after you divide them and put them in.
Okay. Let us grab a phone call this morning. I think Dick is phoning in from Minnetonka. Hi, Dick. What is your question for Mary?
Yes, I listened to your fine show last fall, and the topic was sowing grass seed over sparse areas and seeing a lush lawn early in the spring. I dutifully bought the grass seed but missed putting it in because we had a cold spell and that early snow. My question to you is, if I sowed the grass seed over that sparse area in the next week when it's supposed to be 50s and 60s, would I get a good result, or am I just wasting that seed and I should wait till the spring?
Well, I think you can go ahead and do that, Dick. I would, as long as you have good seed-soil contact. So I assume when you walk out there, you're looking down, you're seeing a lot of the soil itself. Yes, you could go ahead and sow the seed. Now, it's going to pretty much still act like the dormant seeding that you would have done in the fall. Now, had you done it in the fall, it would have worked down into the soil. It would have had better contact. But this spring, I would still go ahead and try that. It's not going to do much of anything as far as germinating until it's moist and the soil gets to be quite a bit warmer. But and the other thing is you want to put some type of mulch down to protect it from erosion. So if it's a level, you don't have to worry so much about that. But any type of a slope, you need to put down some straw or some other type of a mulch to keep the soil in place.
Very good. Listener wants to know, can I trim my hydrangeas now?
Yes, you can do that. The Annabelle hydrangea that has the grows from the base each year and comes up and the seed heads are on that. Yes, you can go ahead and do pruning now.
You mentioned the garden hose. Texter wants to know, can I water my tall grasses now?
Well, you can. Many of our grasses, the warm season ones, are dormant, and they will be dormant for quite a while. A good thing to do is really cut back your grasses, because grasses grow from the base each year, so the tops are dead this time of year. So cutting back the tops is something you want to do before. I would go through and cut off all the tops and take care of that before you think about watering.
Okay. This listener needs to replenish, as they say, my cypress mulch throughout my perennial garden this spring. Well, right now, there's a lot of last fall's leaves covering the area. Without the snowfall, the leaves have not decomposed much. Can I cover the garden with the new mulch without removing the leaves? Maybe I could just fluff the leaves and old mulch and top dress with the new? What do you think?
Yeah, I would do that. The leaves are an organic mulch, and they work well. We know now that many of our insects overwinter in the leaf litter underneath our plants, and more and more people are not being real tidy and cleaning up their gardens, because that increases the number of pollinators and insects that will overwinter in the garden. So, yes, you can leave the leaves and maybe just do some spot additional mulching.
Mary, maybe we can address, there's a bunch of texts about watering, whether it be lawns or shrubs. There's one in particular that said, my yard has thawed out. Should I be watering my shrubs and trees now? Another one is, when do we worry about our grass needing water? It is so dry. Generally speaking, what do you think? I mean, given, as I said, it's March 9th, but what can we do to get a jump start on this?
Well, I am most concerned about new plants, things that are new that you planted last year. Can we remember what we planted last year? That's sometimes a question. But yes, those are the plants that are most susceptible to drought, because they have a small root system. They're not well established. So anything new that you planted, that's what you should think about watering. Inspecting things, looking to see if anything is heaved out of the soil or squirrels have dug up things like that. Those plants might need additional water. But I'm not going to think about starting watering my lawn or any of my established plants at this point. I hope that in the next week or two, we will get some decent rain.
In the forecast, there are small chances midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but 20 to 30% chance. We'll see as we move through it. Can I plant an evergreen now? Texter wants to know.
You can. So evergreens are even more susceptible to water loss, because a lot of plants are dormant now. The daylilies that person talked about dividing and so on, these plants are dormant and they don't need as much water. But evergreens, they need quite a bit of water. So you could start planting those. The person said plant, not transplant. So planting, I assume they've already got a plant that's in a container. And yes, you could do that. Again, water it.
All right, very good. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a quick break. Maybe when we come back, Mary, you can let us know what's going on at the Arboretum this week and coming up. We'll do that right after another warm forecast straight ahead. Again, another reminder to set your clocks ahead. Spring ahead. We'll be losing daylight standard time overnight tonight, moving to daylight saving time early tomorrow morning. So spring ahead. Move those clocks ahead 1 hour as you retire tonight. Weather next here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for you this morning. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Mary, we always like to find out what's going on at the Landscape Arboretum. And I don't think there's any time of the year when there's not something going on at the Arboretum, right?
Oh, that's right. There's always something going on. The big news at the Arboretum is the flower show has been extended for
one week.
Yes, it was supposed to end, really, I think it was today or maybe tomorrow, but one whole week you can go out to the Arboretum. Sunday, March 17th, will be the last day for the flower show. It was so beautiful this year. There's so much to see. It's all indoors, Steph. The flower show is all indoors, so regardless of what's happening outdoors, you can see that lots of beautiful blooms throughout the two big visitor center buildings and in the conservatory. But then, of course, you can walk outside now. Very easy to walk on a 3-mile walk with no issues about ice. So great to see the outdoors as well as the indoors at the Arboretum.
And you don't have to be a member. We urge you to do so, but you don't have to. But as far as paying a visit there, you reserve it online, right?
Right. Reserve it online. Then you know there's not going to be any issue with parking. And every half hour, there are several hundred visitor passes available. So easy to do. And, of course, the weekends get busier than during the week. But great place to visit the Arboretum. Just easily go online, you can quickly get a reservation.
How lucky we are to have something like that in
so
our neighborhood.
True, yes.
It really is. All right, back to the text messages and other phone calls. The texter says, garlic is up weeks early. Should we water or leave alone and apply more mulch? What do you think?
I would leave it alone for now. I see lots of tips of my daffodils. I've had some snowdrops blooming. That's the one thing that's blooming at the Arboretum outside are the galanthus or snowdrops, one of the first things to bloom. But I would not worry about watering everything. My concern right now is things that are new, brand new last year.
Okay. Texter says this, in this current weather environment, when and what would you put on the lawn to prevent knotweed germination?
When and what would I put on the lawn? So you can use pre-emergent weed controls. These create a chemical barrier for seed germinating, that weed seed that we're interested in. They also create a chemical barrier for any lawn seed. So you cannot use a pre-emergent killer and lawn seed. You do one or the other. But for knotweed, yes, the pre-emergent weed killers will work for that. They start working when the soil temperature gets closer to 60 degrees, and that's when the seeds will start germinating. If you put down a pre-emergent weed killer now, it's really early. Traditionally, we do this about like the 10th of May. It's early May. The first couple weeks of May is when we're usually talking about putting down a pre-emergent weed killer. So I it's too early to do that now, but it's not going to be long until you need to do that. Now, there are resources up online that monitor the soil temperature. And they have these wonderful maps for soil temperatures. You can see what's the soil temperature in Missouri right now and what is it here in Minnesota. And the turf folks at turf, umn.edu, have got a link to the maps. And so that's really what I look at. I have a soil thermometer. I can go out and measure my own soil temperature. But there are maps online linked at our extension website. And that will really tell you what is the soil temperature around and, you know, when should I think about doing that. So I know things are early, but I would not put down any chemicals yet. I would wait until we get closer to early April.
That makes sense. Again, you mentioned the website. Great. Another great resource, extension.umn.edu. You can find so many things, so many answers to any of your questions. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Can we still prune apple trees? Listener wants to know.
Yes, you can prune apple trees. I was looking at my my apple tree the other day, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get out and prune that. It had a lot of water sprouts that have come up on it. There's also resources, video resources on pruning apple trees on the extension.umn.edu website, the one you just mentioned, Denny. Those videos are really nice. You know, pruning is a difficult thing to do, but if you see experts standing by a tree and saying, this is bad, take this off, it's much easier than to understand what you're trying to do when you do apple pruning. So the fruit trees, yes, you can go ahead and do the pruning right now.
Okay. Mary, this listener would like to grow tomatoes in garden bags, and their question is, what type of soil should I buy?
You want to buy lightweight potting soil. What I call synthetic soil. It's not really the soil that's in the ground outside. The synthetic soils are often peat-based, which is one of our limited resources. But the lightweight potting soils are the best. So when I go to the garden center to buy this, I look for a bag that's pretty light, a bag that I can easily pick up, and that will have the peat base in it that will hold water and yet have air spaces. And I use pretty much 100% synthetic soil. Sometimes I put in a shovel too or full of regular garden soil into containers, because they will have the nutrients. These synthetic soils often have no nutrients whatsoever, so you have to use a supplemental fertilizer for that.
Okay. Do maples, Texas says, drop sprinkles? Oh, I've noticed this. Do maples drop sprinkles of sap from the branches? I parked a car under one, and it's all wet.
Yes, this time of year, that is the sap running, and we notice that in some trees it's more conspicuous than others, but yes, that's exactly what happens, and it will do it for a little while, but then it will stop, and it does not hurt the tree.
But it seems to me, with the trees in our neighborhood, and when I've parked, they're not maples. I mean, other trees do the same, do they not?
They do. There's this huge uptake in the springtime to get things started and get things going. And the resources have to really be up there to push out those buds and make new leaves, etc. So there's a huge amount that happens in the spring. Yes, it's happening with all the trees. Some are more conspicuous than others.
Okay. Interesting text from a listener who says, I work for a rental company and have lots of customers coming in and wanting to rent dethatchers and aerators already at this time of the year. Can you talk a little bit about when they should be used versus our temps and weather right now?
Yeah, I think John Trappi talked about this last week on the show. So, you know, you can do this if you've got a lawn that has got a lot of thatch buildup, old lawns, established lawns, especially Kentucky bluegrass. You could do this now. The best time, really, to do it is in the fall. And unless you've got severe problems with your lawn with thatch buildup, it's not the first thing that I would turn to do in the spring. I don't have a really dense lawn that has thatch. I have clover and a lot of fine fescue in my lawn, and I have never dethatched it. I think I aerated it once in 30 years, but it really depends on what's going on with your lawn. But ideally, that would be done in the fall.
Right. I know we have to break here briefly, but can I use apple tree spray that is a couple of years old?
That's probably okay if it's been in an area where it hasn't frozen. I would definitely read the label and also look at it when you shake it up and how it comes out, that it's still a liquid, that it hasn't separated out. If it's been in a frost-free area, it's probably okay. But always with the chemicals, you have to read the label and follow the label.
All right, very good. Let's take this quick break. We have more show to come. 651-461-9226, something to keep in mind for a phone call or text to Mary Meyer from the U of M here on our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, heading for, well, near 40, but right now we have 23 degrees. By tomorrow, could be 51, could be 68 on Monday. Don't forget to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour as we head to daylight saving time. Could be 68 on Monday. Don't forget to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour as we head to daylight saving time tomorrow. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. And this morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M, doing all the heavy lifting here this morning, answering all those lawn and garden questions for you. I was waiting, Mary, for this particular question to come up. With no snow on the ground, texter says, can we rake the lawn yet?
Maybe. My south exposure in the back of my house, I could rake the lawn there. The front is kind of touch and go. The northern side had more snow on. It's a little, but the conditions really might be ready for you to rake the lawn. My husband was complaining about so many leaves have blown on the grass over the winter, and he was thinking about taking those off. So probably some people can. If it's dry where you walk on it, totally dry, it's easy, though, to damage lawn in the spring by raking it up when it's fragile. So you have to be really careful that you don't actually start removing some of your lawn and raking it.
Yeah, very good. This listener, Mary, wants to know, can we plant peas yet?
Oh, gosh, I planted some peas with my grandkids in milk containers for the winter sowing, and they're outside. I don't know if they have germinated yet or not. I think the soil, the actual garden soil temperatures are too cold for anything to germinate, but this is the year, Denny. St. Patrick's Day. This is the day to plant your peas. St. Patrick's Day in Minnesota. It's always been a joke. You know, for us, it's been, oh my gosh, who could think about planting on St. Patrick's Day? But yes, I have done that when I've lived in warmer climates. So St. Patrick's Day, I would say, get out there, folks, Minnesota. This is your year to plant peas on St. Patrick's Day.
And they are green, so it goes along.
Right, that's right.
Hi, Mary. Texter says, love your program. Thank you. What do I do with my tulips as they've come up and are about 5 inches tall? They have some dry fall leaves around them. Should I water them or leave them alone?
I would leave them alone. And the leaves really will protect them from colder conditions. There's really not a lot we can do. I definitely am not removing the mulch from my perennials. Some of my snowdrops that came up earlier and bloomed a bit got hit by the frost, the colder temperatures that we had, and they turned brown on the tips. So that's what you will see. But cooler temperatures hopefully will just keep things in line, and then hopefully it won't get real cold again.
Let's mention, we did mention it earlier about the great website, extension.umn.edu, but Mary, we get new listeners all the time here on the show. Briefly, tell us, I mean, there's so many things you can find there, but just give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what folks can find on that.
Yeah, there's so much there. We've really built it, the Extension folks have really built it as a wonderful resource. So what's wrong with my plant? What insect is that? What weed is this? So lots of questions can be answered. We've got many more videos up there now with pruning that I talked about and actually showing you techniques of how to do things. I often use the website when I'm selecting new plants, and I had the unfortunate, well, very common occurrence now in Minnesota. I had 3 ash trees removed from my property and have to plant other things. I had already planted a replacement elm that is disease resistant. But if you so many people are going to have to remove ash trees. So we have to think about, what are we going to plant? What other trees should we plant? So the Extension website is a great resource for that.
And you can ask a master gardener as well.
Yes, that's right. If you've got a question, yes, you can do that online.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. What a great resource. All right, back to the text messages. What is the best fertilizer for rhubarb, and when do I apply it?
Rhubarb, you can use a regular balanced fertilizer, but not so heavy on the first number, which is nitrogen. So something like 5-10-10 is great. I would put that down probably close in sometime in April. I'm still thinking that March is a winter month for us. I can't get that out of my head.
Absolutely.
But once you see it start to grow in the spring, is a good time to fertilize it.
Another text, and we'll see how many we can help out here this morning. How do you get rid of lily of the valley?
Oh, gosh, that is tough. Most people just dig it out and give it away and give it away and give it away. It has a great root system. It's one of our tough perennials. It's a good thing for difficult sites, but if you have a lot of it, it's pretty easy to dig it out. There are chemicals that will kill that, the chemicals that kill total weed kill, like Roundup and so on, will kill it. But I basically just dig it out.
Well, here's one that kind of, well, let me just read it and we'll go from there. Good morning. Love your show. Thank you. We planted new sod in late September. It's very soft to walk on. What are your thoughts on watering this new lawn area?
I think you're definitely going to have to do that. Late September. And then we started to go into dry conditions really into October last fall. So you're definitely going to need to water it, I think, again, this spring. But you want to make sure that the soil will take up the water completely. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, I would think about watering that.
Okay. Can pagoda dogwood be trimmed now?
Yes, pagoda dogwood is one of my favorite plants. Yes, you can trim that now. And you often get seedlings of that coming up around. It self-seeds, but great plant.
Let's see. All right, here's another one. I was just looking at the clock. I have a couple minutes to go. Wondering, texter says, how long to wait to uncover the asparagus, which is on the south side of the house, has 8 inches of mulch on it. Alternatively, maybe pull off half the height of the mulch. What do you think they can do about the asparagus?
Yeah, I would say you could take off some of it now. That seems like a lot of mulch. And so I would take off half of it. The other thing is asparagus is one of our early spring vegetables. So, yes, half of it.
Okay. Should I, texter says, remove the leaves from my rose beds?
I think it's a little early to do that. I think waiting a couple more weeks for our perennials, and I talked about this earlier, not really removing all of your leaves, but taking off just or moving back from some of the perennials. Leaving leaves as a mulch might look a little messy to you, but the leaves and the stems of many of our perennials is where insects overwinter. So it really helps the pollinators and insect population if we are not really total neatniks in the garden.
And we just have basically seconds, less than 60 seconds to go. Another reminder, get to the Arboretum, right?
Yes, the Arboretum Flower Show has been extended. Wonderful place to take a walk. You can always look on the website, see lots of events that are going on there. But a great place to look for plants. If you're thinking about buying a plant or putting new plants in, you can always see them at the Arboretum.
Great place. Mary, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you,
us.
Denny.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. I know you'll be back.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Now, we're going to have a news break, of course, and then Andy Lind is answering some home improvement questions on our home improvement show. That is straight ahead. Stay with us. We expect 40, 41 degrees the high today. Stay with us on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Mary Meyer on this Saturday morning. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Denny. My gosh, where are we? I heard Mark Seely this week say that our winter was comparable to St. Joseph, Missouri. Zone 6A.
My goodness. Wow. I was mentioning to some friends, I'm a little more than concerned that as much as I enjoyed not shoveling snow and things like that, I have a feeling the other shoe's going to drop and there's going to be a payback on shrubs and trees and lawns and things like that if we don't get moisture.
Oh, I agree. I think the payback is a drought. Really, because that's really of concern. The soil moisture is very low now, and amazing. So we are hoping for rain. Gardeners, farmers are hoping for rain.
Absolutely. And we're hoping our listeners will pick up the phone or send a text. Either way, one number will get you an answer here on our Lawn and Garden Show, Smart Garden Show. Call or text Mary, 651-461-9226. All right, we've already have a bunch of texts that came in just a few minutes ago. Here's the first one. Is it too late to winter sow a basket of yellow alyssum seeds?
Yellow alyssum seeds sowing outside. Well, this, you know, we don't see a great deal of success with this. I'm not sure if this is a wildflower alyssum or our bedding plant alyssum, but I would say most flowers will germinate best when the soil temperature gets to 60, 70 degrees. So the soil temperature is down in the 30s now, 30s and 40s, so not much germination is going to happen until the temperature is warm and there's more moisture. So it's a risk. It's a risk putting that seed down now. We talk about dormant seeding of lawns because that, again, you get the soil temperatures is when they actually germinate, but in dormant times they will get down into the soil and then be ready first thing in the spring with the cool season grasses. Flowers require warmer temperatures, so I would wait to do that.
Mary, interesting. Here's kind of a segue into the lawn seeding. Please explain, texter says, overseeding. Is it best to use seed alone or the mixture of seed and topsoil?
I would use just seed alone as long as the seed has good soil contact. So the seed has to come in contact with the soil in order to germinate. So if you don't have a lot of exposed soil there, you need to do something to create soil. But if you don't have exposed soil, you probably have grass. So you might need just really raking rather than overseeding. So you don't necessarily need to put topsoil on.
Again, here's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number. And you know how busy we tend to get this hour. So send your text or call us earlier rather than later so we can fit you in here. 651-461-9226. Is it too early, texter says, to apply pre-emergent to the lawn?
Yes. Yes, it's definitely too early to use weed killer or fertilizer. You want to see plants actively growing when you use herbicide. You also want to follow the directions that are on the label. The label will tell you the temperature when the herbicides actually are active. And that is usually much, much closer to, you know, what's comfortable for us. Usually 60 to 80 degrees is a good temperature for activity of herbicides, and that has to be for quite a few hours, and it also has to be the surface where you're going to put these chemicals down. So air temperature is one thing, the soil temperature, that's another, but way too early for weed and feed applications.
Another question about this unusually warm weather. Has it affected, do you think, the maple sap harvest?
Well, it certainly started early this year. I think
sure.
This was the earliest ever. I know that the Arboretum, they were tapping maples much earlier than normal. They had large, extensive runs of sap. It's comes and goes, you know, with the temperature. So I think the last I heard, it would be a good season, but early.
Okay. This listener, Mary, says, how long can I leave the burlap wrap on my row of 14 junipers? We have many deer who have stripped most of my other evergreens in our yard this past winter that were not wrapped.
Yes, unless a mechanical barrier is the best thing for animal protection for plants. The burlap is basically for the sun scald and then wind burning in the winter. You could take that off now because the, you know, as I don't expect we're going to have temperatures that will damage junipers at Arborvitae at this point in time. But again, you have to think about a barrier or some chemical repellent if you have a lot of deer in the area.
Another listener just sent one in, and you just answered that. Can I take the burlap off my 4 feet arborvitae?
Yes. Yeah.
So the bill can do that. So we are planning, texter says, and moving our hydrangeas to another part of our yard prior to having a sprinkler system. Can I move them now?
Well, you probably could.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't think.
Move them now.
Well, you probably could.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't think there's much frost in the soil, and doing this when plants are dormant is a good idea. If your soil is at all wet, on the north side of your house or anything, I would wait until it dries out. But if you can get a shovel in the ground and pull it out without soil adhering to it, it's dry enough. Just dig the hole where you're going to move it beforehand and then water it. Because, it's just about time to bring out our hoses with the problem with the drought. So, yes, watering it is critical.
March 9th, we're talking about bringing out the hoses.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This listener, Mary, wants to know, how do I plant milkweed in the spring?
Well, you can look for milkweed at garden centers, or you can look for seed. Many of our native plant garden centers will have milkweed for sale. The native milkweed is a big attractant for a lot of insects and, of course, the monarch butterflies. So seed or plants, you can do either one of those. But, yeah, there are several species of native milkweed and good for many insects and pollinators.
All right. I know we'd have to take a break, but there. Let me grab another text here. Could you offer some tips, Texas says, on germinating apple seeds for seed-started rootstock?
Germinating apple seeds for seed-started rootstock. Well, you can get apple seeds to germinate. They might take quite a while. I believe they require a cold treatment before they will germinate. And then you get these kind of wild type things from apple seeds. And this whole process is really difficult. Talk about starting from seed, from really difficulties. There are certain kinds of rootstocks that growers use to bud our favorite apples onto, and those control the height and the size of the apple. So growing one from seed, some wild type that you don't know what it is, it's going to be rough the whole way through to try to figure out how that Honeycrisp or Harrelson or whatever you put on it is going to respond. Boy, I, you know, you can play around with germinating seeds, but I would just go buy the apple tree with a known rootstock that's going to control the height of that tree. But it's always fun to germinate things at home, but the whole process is would take many years, and that's really tough.
Well, I should say. All right, hang on, Mary, please. We'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners again to join in on our Lawn and Garden Conversation, our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions at 651-461-9226. Let's see, right now in the Twin Cities, 23 degrees, the new temperature. We may hit 40 today. We could hit 51 tomorrow and near 68 on Monday. Don't forget, overnight tonight, set those clocks ahead, move ahead, spring ahead. Daylight saving time returns tomorrow. Clocks ahead. We lose an hour of sleep overnight. We'll remind you of that as we move through this weekend here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning is Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. And as usual, Mary, we have a ton of questions this morning. Here's one of them. Is it too early to dig, divide, and plant daylilies?
Well, it is pretty early to do that. You could try it. Daylilies and hosta, there are two perennials that you can really almost divide any time of year. So, again, I would encourage people to not work the soil if it's wet and your shovel is bringing up a lot of soil when you put it in the ground. And number two, make sure you water the plants after you divide them and put them in.
Okay. Let us grab a phone call this morning. I think Dick is phoning in from Minnetonka. Hi, Dick. What is your question for Mary?
Yes, I listened to your fine show last fall, and the topic was sowing grass seed over sparse areas and seeing a lush lawn early in the spring. I dutifully bought the grass seed but missed putting it in because we had a cold spell and that early snow. My question to you is, if I sowed the grass seed over that sparse area in the next week when it's supposed to be 50s and 60s, would I get a good result, or am I just wasting that seed and I should wait till the spring?
Well, I think you can go ahead and do that, Dick. I would, as long as you have good seed-soil contact. So I assume when you walk out there, you're looking down, you're seeing a lot of the soil itself. Yes, you could go ahead and sow the seed. Now, it's going to pretty much still act like the dormant seeding that you would have done in the fall. Now, had you done it in the fall, it would have worked down into the soil. It would have had better contact. But this spring, I would still go ahead and try that. It's not going to do much of anything as far as germinating until it's moist and the soil gets to be quite a bit warmer. But and the other thing is you want to put some type of mulch down to protect it from erosion. So if it's a level, you don't have to worry so much about that. But any type of a slope, you need to put down some straw or some other type of a mulch to keep the soil in place.
Very good. Listener wants to know, can I trim my hydrangeas now?
Yes, you can do that. The Annabelle hydrangea that has the grows from the base each year and comes up and the seed heads are on that. Yes, you can go ahead and do pruning now.
You mentioned the garden hose. Texter wants to know, can I water my tall grasses now?
Well, you can. Many of our grasses, the warm season ones, are dormant, and they will be dormant for quite a while. A good thing to do is really cut back your grasses, because grasses grow from the base each year, so the tops are dead this time of year. So cutting back the tops is something you want to do before. I would go through and cut off all the tops and take care of that before you think about watering.
Okay. This listener needs to replenish, as they say, my cypress mulch throughout my perennial garden this spring. Well, right now, there's a lot of last fall's leaves covering the area. Without the snowfall, the leaves have not decomposed much. Can I cover the garden with the new mulch without removing the leaves? Maybe I could just fluff the leaves and old mulch and top dress with the new? What do you think?
Yeah, I would do that. The leaves are an organic mulch, and they work well. We know now that many of our insects overwinter in the leaf litter underneath our plants, and more and more people are not being real tidy and cleaning up their gardens, because that increases the number of pollinators and insects that will overwinter in the garden. So, yes, you can leave the leaves and maybe just do some spot additional mulching.
Mary, maybe we can address, there's a bunch of texts about watering, whether it be lawns or shrubs. There's one in particular that said, my yard has thawed out. Should I be watering my shrubs and trees now? Another one is, when do we worry about our grass needing water? It is so dry. Generally speaking, what do you think? I mean, given, as I said, it's March 9th, but what can we do to get a jump start on this?
Well, I am most concerned about new plants, things that are new that you planted last year. Can we remember what we planted last year? That's sometimes a question. But yes, those are the plants that are most susceptible to drought, because they have a small root system. They're not well established. So anything new that you planted, that's what you should think about watering. Inspecting things, looking to see if anything is heaved out of the soil or squirrels have dug up things like that. Those plants might need additional water. But I'm not going to think about starting watering my lawn or any of my established plants at this point. I hope that in the next week or two, we will get some decent rain.
In the forecast, there are small chances midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but 20 to 30% chance. We'll see as we move through it. Can I plant an evergreen now? Texter wants to know.
You can. So evergreens are even more susceptible to water loss, because a lot of plants are dormant now. The daylilies that person talked about dividing and so on, these plants are dormant and they don't need as much water. But evergreens, they need quite a bit of water. So you could start planting those. The person said plant, not transplant. So planting, I assume they've already got a plant that's in a container. And yes, you could do that. Again, water it.
All right, very good. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a quick break. Maybe when we come back, Mary, we can you can let us know what's going on at the Arboretum.
Yes.
This week and coming up. We'll do that right after the another warm forecast straight ahead. Again, another reminder to set your clocks ahead. Spring ahead. We'll be losing daylight standard time overnight tonight, moving to daylight saving time early tomorrow morning. So spring ahead. Move those clocks ahead 1 hour as you retire tonight. Weather next here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for you this morning. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Mary, we always like to find out what's going on at the Landscape Arboretum. And there is, I don't think there's any time of the year when there's not something going on at the Arboretum, right?
Oh, that's right. There's always something going on. The big news at the Arboretum is the flower show has been extended for
one week.
Yes, it was supposed to end, really, I think it was today or maybe tomorrow, but one whole week you can go out to the Arboretum. Sunday, March 17th, will be the last day for the flower show. It was so beautiful this year. There's so much to see. It's all indoors, Seth. The flower show is all indoors, so regardless of what's happening outdoors, you can see that lots of beautiful blooms throughout the two big visitor center buildings and in the conservatory. But then, of course, you can walk outside now. Very easy to walk on a 3-mile walk with no issues about ice. So great to see the outdoors as well as the indoors at the Arboretum.
And you don't have to be a member. We urge you to do so, but you don't have to. But as far as paying a visit there, you reserve it online, right?
Right. Reserve it online. Then you know there's not going to be any issue with parking. And every half hour, there are several hundred visitor passes available. So easy to do. And, of course, the weekends get busier than during the week, but great place to visit the Arboretum. Just easily go online. You can quickly get a reservation.
How lucky we are to have something like that in our neighborhood.
So true, yes.
It really is. All right, back to the text messages and other phone calls. The texter says, garlic is up weeks early. Should we water or leave alone and apply more mulch? What do you think?
I would leave it alone for now. I see lots of tips of my daffodils. I've had some snowdrops blooming. That's the one thing that's blooming at the Arboretum outside are the galanthus or snowdrops, one of the first things to bloom. But I would not worry about watering everything. My concern right now is things that are new, brand new last year.
Okay. Texter says this, in this current weather environment, when and what would you put on the lawn to prevent knotweed germination?
When and what would I put on the lawn? So yeah. You can use pre-emergent weed controls. These create a chemical barrier for seed germinating, that weed seed that we're interested in. They also create a chemical barrier for any lawn seed. So you cannot use a pre-emergent killer and lawn seed. You do one or the other. But for knotweed, yes, the pre-emergent weed killers will work for that. They start working when the soil temperature gets closer to 60 degrees, and that's when the seeds will start germinating. If you put down a pre-emergent weed killer now, it's really early. Traditionally, we do this about like the 10th of May. It's early May. The first couple weeks of May is when we're usually talking about putting down a pre-emergent weed killer. So I it's too early to do that now, but it's not going to be long until you need to do that. Now, there are resources up online that monitor the soil temperature. And they have these wonderful maps for soil temperatures. You can see what's the soil temperature in Missouri right now and what is it here in Minnesota. And the turf folks, the turf UMN.edu have got a link to the maps. And so that's really what I look at. I have a soil thermometer. I can go out and measure my own soil temperature, but there are maps online linked at our extension website. And that will really tell you what is the soil temperature around and, you know, when should I think about doing that. So I know things are early, but I would not put down any chemicals yet. I would wait until we get closer to early April.
That makes sense. Again, you mentioned the website. Great. Another great resource, extension.umn.edu. You can find so many things, so many answers to any of your questions. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Can we still prune apple trees? Listener wants to know.
Yes. Yes, you can prune apple trees. I was looking at my my apple tree the other day, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get out and prune that. It had a lot of water sprouts that have come up on it. There's also resources, video resources on pruning apple trees on the extension.umn.edu website, the one you just mentioned, Denny. Those videos are really nice. Pruning is a difficult thing to do, but if you see experts standing by a tree and saying, this is bad, this is bad, take this off, it's much easier than to understand what you're trying to do when you do apple pruning. So the fruit trees, yes, you can go ahead and do the pruning right now.
Okay. Mary, this listener would like to grow tomatoes in garden bags, and their question is, what type of soil should I buy?
You want to buy lightweight potting soil. What I call synthetic soil. It's not really the soil that's in the ground outside. The synthetic soils are often peat-based, which is one of our limited resources. But the lightweight potting soils are the best. So when I go to the garden center to buy this, I look for a bag that's pretty light, a bag that I can easily pick up, and that will have the peat base in it that will hold water and yet have air spaces. And I use pretty much 100% synthetic soil. Sometimes I put in a shovel too or full of regular garden soil into containers, because they will have the nutrients. These synthetic soils often have no nutrients whatsoever, so you have to use a supplemental fertilizer for that.
Okay. Do maples, Texas says, drop sprinkles? Oh, I've noticed this. Do maples drop sprinkles of sap from the branches? I parked a car under one, and it's all wet.
Yes, this time of year, that is the sap running. And we notice that in some trees, it's more conspicuous than others. But yes, that's exactly what happens. And it will do it for a little while, but then it will stop. And it does not hurt the tree.
But it seems to me, with the trees in our neighborhood, and when I've parked, they're not maples. I mean, other trees do the same, do they not?
They do. They do. There's this huge uptake in the springtime to get things started and get things going. And the resources have to really be up there to push out those buds and make new leaves, etc. So there's a huge amount that happens in the spring. Yes, it's happening with all the trees. Some are more conspicuous than others.
Okay. Interesting text from a listener who says, I work for a rental company and have lots of customers coming in and wanting to rent dethatchers and aerators already at this time of the year. Can you talk a little bit about when they should be used versus our temps and weather right now?
Yeah, I think John Trappi talked about this last week on the show. So, you know, you can do this if you've got a lawn that has got a lot of thatch buildup, old lawns, established lawns, especially Kentucky bluegrass. You could do this now. The best time, really, to do it is in the fall. And unless you've got severe problems with your lawn with thatch buildup, it's not the first thing that I would would turn to do in the spring. I don't have a really dense lawn that has thatch. I have clover and a lot of fine fescue in my lawn, and I have never dethatched it. I think I aerated it once in 30 years, but it really depends on what's going on with your lawn. But ideally, that would be done in the fall.
Right. I know we have to break here briefly, but can I use apple tree spray that is a couple of years old?
That's probably okay if it's been in an area where it hasn't frozen. I would definitely read the label and also look at it when you shake it up and how it comes out, that it's still a liquid, that it hasn't separated out. If it's been in a frost-free area, it's probably okay. But always with the chemicals, you have to read the label and follow the label.
All right, very good. Let's take this quick break. We have more show to come. 651-461-9226, something to keep in mind for a phone call or text to Mary Meyer from the U of M here on our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, heading for, well, near 40, but right now we have 23 degrees. By tomorrow, could be 51, could be 68 on Monday. Don't forget to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour as we head to daylight saving time. Could be 68 on Monday. Don't forget to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour as we head to daylight saving time tomorrow. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. And this morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M, doing all the heavy lifting here this morning, answering all those lawn and garden questions for you. I was waiting, Mary, for this particular question to come up. With no snow on the ground, Texter says, can we rake the lawn yet?
Maybe. My south exposure in the back of my house, I could rake the lawn there. The front is kind of touch and go. The northern side had more snow on. It's a little, but the conditions really might be ready for you to rake the lawn. My husband was complaining about so many leaves have blown on the grass over the winter, and he was thinking about taking those off. So probably some people can. If it's dry where you walk on it, totally dry, it's easy, though, to damage lawn in the spring by raking it up when it's fragile. So you have to be really careful that you don't actually start removing some of your lawn and raking it.
Yeah, very good. This listener, Mary, wants to know, can we plant peas yet?
Oh, gosh. I planted some peas with my grandkids in milk containers for the winter sowing, and they're outside. I don't know if they have germinated yet or not. I think the soil, the actual garden soil's temperatures are too cold for anything to germinate. But this is the year, Denny. St. Patrick's Day. This is the day to plant your peas. St. Patrick's Day in Minnesota. It's always been a joke. You know, for us, it's been, oh my gosh, who could think about planting on St. Patrick's Day? But yes, I have done that when I've lived in warmer climates. So St. Patrick's Day, I would say, get out there, folks. Minnesota, this is your year to plant peas on St. Patrick's Day.
And they are green, so it goes along.
Right, that's right.
Hi, Mary. Texter says, love your program. Thank you. What do I do with my tulips as they've come up and are about 5 inches tall? They have some dry fall leaves around them. Should I water them or leave them alone?
I would leave them alone. And the leaves really will protect them from colder conditions. There's really not a lot we can do. I definitely am not removing the mulch from my perennials. Some of my snowdrops that came up earlier and bloomed a bit that got hit by the frost, the colder temperatures that we had, and they turned brown on the tips. So that's what you will see. But cooler temperatures hopefully will just keep things in line, and then hopefully it won't get real cold again.
Let's mention, we did mention it earlier about the great website, extension.umn.edu, but Mary, we get new listeners all the time here in the show. Briefly, tell us, I mean, there's so many things you can find there, but just give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what folks can find
yes.
on that.
Yeah, there's so much there. We've really built it, the Extension folks have really built it as a wonderful resource. So what's wrong with my plant? What insect is that? What weed is this? So lots of questions can be answered. We've got many more videos up there now with pruning that I talked about and actually showing you techniques of how to do things. I often use the website when I'm selecting new plants, and I had the unfortunate, well, very common occurrence now in Minnesota. I had 3 ash trees removed from my property and have to plant other things. I had already planted a replacement elm that is disease resistant. But if so many people are going to have to remove ash trees. So we have to think about, what are we going to plant? What other trees should we plant? So the Extension website is a great resource for that.
And you can ask a master gardener as well.
Yes, that's right. If you've got a question, yes, you can do that online.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. What a great resource. All right, back to the text messages. What is the best fertilizer for rhubarb, and when do I apply it?
Rhubarb, you can use a regular balanced fertilizer, but not so heavy on the first number, which is nitrogen. So something like 5-10-10 is great. I would put that down probably close in sometime in April. I'm still thinking that March is a winter month for us. I can't get that out of my head.
Absolutely.
But once you see it start to grow in the spring, is a good time to fertilize it.
Another text, and we'll see how many we can help out here this morning. How do you get rid of lily of the valley?
Oh, gosh, that is tough. Most people just dig it out and give it away and give it away and give it away. It has a great root system. It's one of our tough perennials. It's a good thing for difficult sites. But if you have a lot of it, it's pretty easy to dig it out. There are chemicals that will kill that, the chemicals that kill total weed kill, like Roundup and so on, will kill it. But I basically just dig it out.
Well, here's one that kind of, well, let me just read it and we'll go from there. Good morning. Love your show. Thank you. We planted new sod in late September. It's very soft to walk on. What are your thoughts on watering this new lawn area?
I think you're definitely going to have to do that. Late September. And then we started to go into dry conditions really into October last fall. So you're definitely going to need to water it, I think, again this spring. But you want to make sure that the soil will take up the water completely. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, I would think about watering that.
Okay. Can pagoda dogwood be trimmed now?
Yes, pagoda dogwood is one of my favorite plants. Yes, you can trim that now. And you often get seedlings of that coming up around. It self-seeds, but great plant.
Let's see. All right, here's another one. I was just looking at the clock. I have a couple minutes to go. Wondering, texter says, how long to wait to uncover the asparagus, which is on the south side of the house, has 8 inches of mulch on it. Alternatively, maybe pull off half the height of the mulch. What do you think they can do about the asparagus?
Yeah, I would say you could take off some of it now. That seems like a lot of mulch. And so I would take off half of it. The other thing is asparagus is one of our early spring vegetables. So, yes, half of it.
Okay. Should I, texter says, remove the leaves from my rose beds?
I think it's a little early to do that. I think waiting a couple more weeks for our perennials, and I talked about this earlier, not really removing all of your leaves, but taking off just or moving back from some of the perennials. Leaving leaves as a mulch might look a little messy to you, but the leaves and the stems of many of our perennials is where insects overwinter. So it really helps the pollinators and insect population if we are not really total neatniks in the garden.
And we just have basically seconds, less than 60 seconds to go. Another reminder, get to the Arboretum, right?
Yes, the Arboretum Flower Show has been extended. Wonderful place to take a walk. You can always look on the website, see lots of events that are going on there. But a great place to look for plants. If you're thinking about buying a plant or putting new plants in, you can always see them at the Arboretum.
Great place. Mary, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Denny.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. I know you'll be back.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Now, we're going to have a news break, of course, and then Andy Lind is answering some home improvement questions on our home improvement show. That is straight ahead. Stay with us. We expect 40, 41 degrees the high today. Stay with us on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.